2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
Fast 40, presented to you by DFSArmy.com. This week we are headed to Pocono Raceway for the Pocono 400. Weather is expected to be kind of crappy, but I think that we can get the race in on Sunday. Might just have some rained out practices tomorrow. We'll have to see how that goes, but looking forward to the race on Sunday here. Got the Xfinity race tomorrow as well. And we're going to be looking forward to covering that once qualifying happens for that race, the 250. But first things first, got to announce that this will be the first week that we have the FanDuel NASCAR on the Domination Station. So now you can go mass multi-enter over there. And if you want to do that, you've got to join us at DFSArmy.com and use promo code TACO on sign up for a lifetime 10% off. You'll get access to all of our tools and premium features for every sport. We're killing it in MLB and WNBA, golf, basketball, hockey, you name it, we cover it. And it all comes together for one low price at DFSArmy.com. So just remember to use promo code TACO to support the pod. And let's just get into the track breakdown right here. A Pocono Raceway is a 2.5-mile large tri-oval. It's asphalt and it's last been repaved in 2011, banking of about 14 degrees, so relatively flat, average speed of 142. They do go really fast down the straightaway, and we saw guys hit 207, 208 during qualifying in total speed going into the corner, and that was really fast, really, really fast. So it's one of those tracks, sort of like Michigan, where you have to have a really, really fast car, and the cars in the back don't tend to do that well. But at the same time, there are less laps here for the Dominators to lead. Last week, we got to see Kyle Busch break 200 fantasy points with his amazing performance at the Coke 600. There were 400 laps there. There are only going to be 160 laps raced here. So it would be impossible for a score like that to be put up. And the biggest score that we have seen in the last 10 races here was Casey Kane, actually. All the way back in 2013, he scored 106 fantasy points on DraftKings, and that was the only time we've seen a 100 fantasy score here at Pocono. And really, it's a track for the Dominators, I guess, just because they get to run away from everyone. But the guys in the back, they can survive, just because it's really hard to go a lap down with it being such a gigantic track. But on DraftKings, it's still just not appealing picking guys from the very, very back. Guys starting 36th or worst, average 18 fantasy points. Now, we'll only have three of those guys this week because it's a 38-car field. But even looking at 31st through 35th starting position, 21 average fantasy points. Compare that to the 26 average fantasy points of just any given driver. It's not a huge difference. Guys starting 1st through 5th, 35.7 fantasy points on average. And guys starting on the pole, 42.6 fantasy points on average. There are just less fantasy points to go around this week, and you kind of have to have them perfectly allocated to the guys that lead laps, because if you see anybody that leads 100 laps like Kyle Busch or Jimmy Johnson have done here in the past, you're going to absolutely need them. Everyone else will be in the 40 to 50 range, 60 maybe at best. So that will just amplify the need for the Dominator, but it's not going to be as bad as last week, obviously. If you didn't have Kyle Busch, you weren't anywhere near the cash line. But it's still the same sort of thing, just to a smaller extent here. There's just less fantasy points to go around. And just looking at guys who start on the pole here, they do pretty decently, I guess. 38.4 lead laps, 17.2 fast laps on average. It's not a lot compared to a lot of other tracks, but it's still, it's a bigger track, and there are just less laps to go around. This week we get to see Ryan Blaney on the pole, but followed very closely by Kevin Harvick and Kyle Busch, who will definitely be fighting for that number one position, give him all he can for it, and we'll get into that a little bit later. But really, the strategy for DraftKings this week, you can take one of the cheaper guys. There are a few options way, way down low, but there are also some guys who are being really underpriced compared to how they usually are. Just quickly, you can see guys like Ty Dillon down at 5,300. That's kind of a head scratcher. Or Michael McDowell still under $6,000 for whatever reason. And David Ragan even got a significant price drop to 5,600. He's been qualifying high, but you might almost warrant some use here just because of the fact that, you know, he won't be going a lap down, and he's just so cheap, so ridiculously cheap. We even see in the mid-range some guys like Ricky Stenhouse Jr. has wandered into the $6,000 range despite several top 15 finishes in a row for him. And lots of the plays down in like the $6,000 range, $7,000 range are pretty good. And that's something we didn't see last week. There was a big empty space and only a handful of really good plays. You had to kind of punt down to the bottom a little bit more last week. This week you can still do that, and it would be cool if DraftKings actually had Cole Custer to use, because he's getting another shot in the number 51 Ford, heavily supported by Stuart Haas Racing, but he's only on FanDuel this week. There aren't as many like horrible scrubs, and there are no situations where guys are going to like the back of the field. You just had one severe under qualification from Almirola, and Eric Jones starting back in 25th. He got bumped right out of the bubble on the first draft, or the first round of qualifying, and just didn't end up making it through. But other than that, there really aren't too many guys that are drastically, you know, starting way further back than they really ought to. And a lot of the best drivers started or are starting in the top five. So it's a bit of a standard week, although these weird weeks where guys don't pass tech and go to the back or go to a backup car has become sort of the norm. This kind of reminds you of one of those weeks where like we qualify by owner points or something, where it's relatively normal. And the move on DraftKings is to definitely go after the dominators and just pair them with the pretty obvious plays. Guys like Jones and Almirola that are starting way back further than they will be running on average. You really want to look at the average running position for a lot of these different splits. It gives you a little bit better of an idea of where these guys drive around compared to where they just so happen to finish. And this race can certainly be messed up. Have some strange finishes due to weather. We saw it a few years ago when Chris Buescher ended up winning due to fog. And rain is on the forecast this week, unfortunately. Right now, it is looking like tomorrow's practice may be in jeopardy with some rain in the forecast. And looking at the time for Sunday's race, things should be going fairly smooth. Just a little tiny chance of a sprinkle so far at 4 p.m. it would look like. And 20 to 30% chance of rain during those afternoon hours, but it should it'll definitely won't get rained out because the heavier rain comes in late at night at like 10 p.m. or so, but we should only have like a small rain delay if anything, just going by the current forecast. But the forecast has changed quite a bit in the last few days, so kind of going back and forth between will qualifying be rained out, qualifying's fine. Will the race have rain delays? Maybe it'll be worse than we expect. Maybe it'll be better than we expect. But we have to check in closer to race time, and I'll let you guys know. in the chat how the weather's looking, or you can just look for yourself. I'm definitely not expecting anything ridiculous like we saw in 2016. Nothing too crazy like that. Maybe just a small delay. Should be a normal race. We might have a practice or two rained out tomorrow, which is going to suck. Because you want to see that final practice. It really helps you. Really helps show who's fast, especially in the longer runs. We didn't get any 10-lap runs in the first practice, so not a whole lot to go off of. We really can't be reading too much into practice times right now. Maybe if they have a good practice session tomorrow. But we kind of know what we're looking for here, and we pretty much know who's fast. Kyle Busch, Kevin Harvick, those guys. But I will go through the rest of the field, try to make some sense out of all the rest of the guys, point out who you should play, who you should avoid. I'm going to go through the field in DraftKings order, but also be talking about good FanDuel plays. Usually just the guys that qualified too high and should stick around where they're at, like a Ryan Newman here starting in 8th. Those are kind of the guys you want to play more on FanDuel than on DraftKings. You can always see it in the positional scoring summary on the research station. You can look at the DraftKings one, the FanDuel one. DraftKings one, they give a lot more fantasy points to guys that dominate because of the fast laps. There are no fast laps on FanDuel. And FanDuel is very reliant on just finishing laps. So you want to avoid the back of the field. You can look at the fantasy point distribution. And guys starting 31st or worst hit 40 fantasy points only 2% of the time. Compare that to guys starting 1st through 5th. They hit the 40 fantasy threshold 84% of the time. You can see the massive difference there. You really want to take the guys starting in the front of the pack, like the front 15. They all average over 40 fantasy points per race, and the guys starting like 25th or worst are all 30 or under with their averages. It's pretty clear on FanDuel. You just take guys starting in the front, as we're on DraftKings. For whatever reason, guys starting 21st through 25th do really well here and average better than guys starting above them until you get up to the 1st through 5th range. And the guys that we've seen in the top 6 are the optimal lineups. They're kind of evenly distributed between 1st through 5th, 6th through 10th, 11th through 15th. Because place differential is so important, and we've had some dominators starting a little bit farther back in the field. But still, the guys getting the 70, 80, 90 fantasy point performances, those are still your guys starting towards the front of the field, especially in the top few positions or off the pole. This week, it's pretty clear who those guys could be, either Blaney off of the pole or Harvick right beside him, or Kyle Busch starting in 5th, maybe some Truex starting in 4th. You know, all of the top-tier drivers, the dominators, they all start in the top 5 this week, so it should be pretty straightforward. Don't have too much theory crafting to do like we did last week with Kevin Harvick starting in the very back, and last week's going to be important when looking at this week, because Kevin Harvick was over 60% owned, and he crashed and just ruined it for most of the field. He ended up finishing in last. Somehow he started in 39th and still got negative place differential. Finished dead last because Austin Dillon went to the garage and actually came back out and got some laps, gained a few spots. And we also saw in the Xfinity Series, their Charlotte race, Ryan Reed started in dead last. He ended up crashing as well and finishing very poorly, and he was over 70% owned. So everyone knows going into this week, the chalk can let you down. Maybe don't go 100% on the chalk. And you should never be going 100% on anybody anyway. You should be maxing them out at the DNF rate, which here it's 21%. 21% DNF rate. So 80% should be like your max if you really, really love somebody and want to take a very heavy stand on them. And personally, my strategy with that is to just kind of double down and go back with the chalky sort of guys. Kevin Harvick, Kyle Busch, don't really want to stray from them right now, as they are just obviously the fastest cars, fastest drivers. And I'm just not going to be scared of them, not going to worry too much about making a big fade, but like I said last week, there's a lot of money out there for people who wanted to fade Harvick, and we had a few guys that did, had some success. If that's the route you want to go, go for it. You've seen how it can work. It works a lot of the time. But I feel like people will be less inclined to use the best guys just after the bad taste they've got in their mouth from Harvick last week or Ryan Reed and Xfinity. But at the same time, they also saw how Kyle Busch just dominated everything. So it goes both ways. Those were the two obvious chalky guys. Kyle Busch didn't end up being too chalky for Kyle Busch on the pole. He was under 40% owned. But, you know, like I said, if you didn't have him last week, you didn't cash at all. But I don't know how people are going to react to this. I think people are going to play a little more Kyle Busch and a little less Kevin Harvick than they should. But I'm not even sure if that's, like, the worst play in the world. I do think Kyle Busch, he debuted that new engine last week, and it was really, really fast, really fast. He lapped everyone all up to the top 10. There were 9 left on the lead lap when he was done with everything, 377 lead laps. Well, let's just officially get into the field here. Kevin Harvick, Kevin is the most expensive, $11,600. On DraftKings, Kyle Busch, $11,300. And over on FanDuel, you've got Kevin Harvick with an insane price tag of $13,500. Kyle Busch all the way down at $12,000. Harvick, I told you guys over and over to fade Kevin Harvick on FanDuel and play him on DraftKings. The play was just to fade him everywhere, I guess. But works out really well on FanDuel because everyone's scoring outcomes are very similar, and it really, really just depends on them finishing all the laps and stuff. So we did see Kyle Busch score an exorbitant amount of points just because he so happened to lead 377 laps, but that's not really going to happen here. Kevin Harvick really doesn't, even though he's been amazing this year, there's nothing that, as far as like the numbers and projections go, it's really hard to justify paying $1,500 more for him than anyone else. I know that you can leave salary on the table a lot of times on FanDuel, but Harvick's game log is just too perfect looking, and the range of outcomes are just too similar to really justify playing a lot of Kevin Harvick. You're gonna want to get your Harvick exposure over on DraftKings. He has finished runner-up here 4 times since 2014. Has not won yet at this track, but he still boasts a very good driver rating, one of the best in the field, like at pretty much every track. And you know he's got the momentum from this year. Even before he crashed, he flew up to the field and was in the top 5 before he crashed last week. So he's gonna do some big things here, and he's outside of Ryan Blaney, who is the defending champ of this race, the spring race. He won that last year, and he's on the pole again here, and he's also won this race in the truck series before. But Kevin Harvick, you could see him, or we saw him in this exact scenario earlier in the year in Las Vegas. Blaney started on the pole with Harvick on the outside, and it took Harvick all of 1 lap to catch him. Blaney ended up dominating later on in the race, but Harvick could lead after lap 1 here. He could also just get behind and Blaney find the clean air and him lead a pretty decent amount. I mean, it's a very good track for Blaney. But the way I'm seeing it, I give Blaney about a 20% chance of checking out, and probably like a 50% chance that Harvick catches him within like 5 to 10 laps. And then the remaining 30% chance is probably Blaney leading to like competition caution or just longer than 10 laps, and then Harvick eventually catching him, or someone like Kyle Busch catching him. Now, I'm personally going to really just focus on Kyle Busch and Kevin Harvick. I don't know about Blaney. I know that he's at a decent price at 8.7. on DraftKings. Over there on FanDuel, he's at 10,000, which is a very good price over there. I think I'm going to play Blaney a lot more on FanDuel than on DraftKings. I'll still have plenty of lineups with him, probably run about 20% Blaney or so, but I'm really going to focus on Kyle Busch and Kevin Harvick, because they're just one of the most important, they're the most important drivers of this track here, this race. Really, most of the races we go to, those are the two that you really have to pay attention to. They hog all of the fast laps, so on DraftKings, they're very important to play. They're right now this year at just overall, they're averaging 89 and 84 lead laps with 59 and 52 fast laps respectively. It's some dirty numbers. And right outside of them, $10,900, we have Martin Truex Jr. He hasn't been too shabby this year either if you're just looking at finish, but for driver rating, Harvick and Kyle Busch are at the 124 mark. Truex is 10 behind at the 114 mark. And then it's a 10-point drop off to Brad Keselowski behind them. So it's pretty clear who the best drivers are this year. I know Kyle Larson has made a lot of noise, but he's also crashed a lot and things like that. But Martin Truex Jr., he's had some success, especially at the large and intermediate. Really anything intermediate, obviously, is Truex Jr.'s jam here. But he won this race back in 2015, third place last year at the fall race, sixth in the spring race. He'll definitely poke his nose in there. I don't know. I don't think he's on the level that Kyle Busch and Kevin Harvick are right now. I think it's pretty safe to say. Harvick and Busch are at around 4 or 5 to 1, their odds. Truex is sitting at 6 to 1. So, and there's a jump off after him to Larson at 9 to 1, Blaney at 12 to 1. I'm sure the Blaney line will move up with him getting the pole, probably around to like 10 to 1 or so. But you can kind of see how the odds makers have it. Harvick and Busch are on basically their own tier. Then there's sort of a second tier here of Kyle Larson, your Penske guys, Logano, and Keselowski, more so Keselowski this week, and then Blaney, of course, the other Penske guy, and Denny Hamlin. I think they all kind of go right in that second tier, but let's kind of like talk our way up to them here. So for Truex Jr., he could be a good alternate dominator. Busch and Harvick are obviously more appealing, but you definitely need to have your Truex lineups in there because he can certainly find his way out in the front, just less likely than a Busch or Harvick. And as for Kyle Larson, he was a little bit faster in practice, but we'll see more tomorrow. Starting back in 13th, that's not bad at all for DraftKings especially. Pretty good at the 2 mile tracks like Fontana and Michigan. He's gotten a lot of wins on those tracks specifically. Not so much here at Pocono, but he usually does pretty well at Pocono. Started his career off with 7 straight top 12 finishes. Unfortunately, crashed last time out in the fall race. And if you really think about Larson's style of driving, he's always had a pretty decent car, but this isn't really a place where his driving prowess is really on display. You need to be good at shifting. This is one of the few tracks where shifting is like an important deal, and it's not that Larson is like bad at that or anything. He just excels more in other areas, and there are certain drivers who are really good at the tracks where you have to like downshift and stuff. Guys like Kurt Busch, so it's just not like an ideological fit for Larson, like a track like Homestead would be, where it's all about driving skill and being able to ride the outside and stuff like that. And Larson's kind of been, we've noticed the last few weeks with Larson, he's like in his practice times, he had always been up there in the practices. Wouldn't be surprised if he snags a practice tomorrow. Just that speed really has fallen off in runs. He's always fast early on the run, then either uses up his tires or just his setup isn't set for him to go very far, and he's just been falling off. So I know he had some domination a few weeks ago, but we haven't really seen enough from Larson to justify him being really comparable in price to Truex, or almost or within a thousand of Kyle Busch. That just doesn't feel right to pay that much for Larson. Although I do really like it on FanDuel, $10,900. That's pretty fair for him over there. Moving along here to the other two Penske drivers that are not on the poll here. Brad Keselowski projects to be a really strong play, probably one of the strongest of all the studs on DraftKings, and even on FanDuel, his price is pretty decent at $11,000, and he's one of our highest projected plays as well. He has five straight top five finishes here, better driver rating at Pocono than Harvick. It's by 0.1 exactly, but still technically better than Harvick at this track when you go by driver rating. And average running position and average finish, those are all in the top 10. Just always races well here and hasn't had a lot of trouble. He really kept his nose clean at Pocono. And really this year he's been keeping his nose relatively clean. He's up there with the leaders in lead lap finishes. And for the last few weeks, Keselowski has come in at pretty low ownership, especially over there on DraftKings. I think he was around like 12%. And a few weeks ago, he was the key when he dominated, and he was only like 11% owned on the sites. So Keselowski is someone that I do want to focus on here. We haven't really, really haven't slammed Keselowski too much recently. This is a very good spot for him. He's starting back in the 17th position, so we get some place differential to begin with. And with the track history here, and him just being so good and so consistent, it seems like an awesome play for only $9,800 on DraftKings and $11,000 on FanDuel. Clint Bowyer at $9,500. He's starting ninth. He's done a lot better this season, averaging 30 lead laps, 17 fast laps. Will he do it here? I don't know. He finished sixth last time out in the fall race, 17th in the spring race, and those were his first years with the Stewart Haas Fords. They've taken a step up a bit this year, and he was third in speed in the first practice, at least. The problem with him is his price. He's all the way up at $9,500 on DraftKings. On FanDuel, it's worse. He's $10,300. I guess it's actually, when you compare the salary caps, it's actually a little bit better over there on FanDuel. But he was really expensive last week. Unfortunately, we do not get the 28th starting spot for Bowyer this week, but I wouldn't say he's 100% avoid. You should definitely play him a bit, and he's usually a pretty safe-ish driver. It's just he's so expensive. And he's been popular too. He's been a very popular pick, so I don't know if he'll necessarily be like super low owned. So you know, everyone knows that he's pretty much working with the equipment that Harvick is. Although the only minor concern I have for Stewart Haas Racing this week is the struggles of Almirola. Almirola just hated his car, and we'll get into that more when we get to that range, but just something to be mindful of. Bowyer, play him on FanDuel. That's pretty much the play here, unless you see a continuation of this speed tomorrow in practices. Chase Elliott starting back in the 11th. He's 9,300 on DraftKings, 10,100 over on FanDuel. He's kind of been just a really boring person that, yeah, if you faded him every single week so far in the season, that's been fine. He hasn't made you pay at all. Pretty much not leading any laps. 6.8 fast laps per race. That's the only thing that he does decently. Just the Chevys are not dominating outside of Larson, and even Larson's not doing a ton of dominating this season. That's just the state of Chevy right now. So can't be too excited about the Chase Elliott play. Then Denny Hamlin, $9,100. Very good price for him, and he rates out really well here. 4th, 12th, 7th, and 14th in his last few times out. And starting in the 10th position, he's really a solid lock for a top 10 most weeks. Average finish this year is 6.8. Average running position, 8.7. Average running position at these large or intermediate ovals, coming at 9.9, so also in the top 10 there. Sort of like a cash game play, I'd guess. Just really fairly priced. Over on FanDuel, it's not the case. $11,300. Might be a bit more of a fade there, but you might even want to play him just because he's so expensive that not a lot of people are going to be playing him at all. So that's something to think about there. Jimmy Johnson, we were scared that he wouldn't make it through tech for qualifying, but he ended up doing just that, and he's starting 15th. Missed out on the final round of qualifying. He looked really good last week, honestly. It was up there in the top two or three and had the fastest car at least at one point in the race. It's still been a really poor season for him. Pocono has not been kind to him as of late. He finished 16th in the fall race in 2016, and that's the only time he's had an even close to formidable finish. All the other times he's finished 35th or worse, just due to finding trouble. So it's hard to really know how he's actually been driving at Pocono recently. Just we haven't been able to witness him finish a race there. He's $8,900 on DraftKings, $9,400 on FanDuel. That's a pretty fair price over there. I don't know. I'm not really going to be playing Jimmy Johnson a lot. Hamlin and Blaney, Kurt Busch in this range are definitely going to demand a lot more of my attention. And then, of course, you got Jones and Almirola in the lower $8,000 range, and you having to focus so much on the upper, the more expensive guys like Harvick, Busch, Keselowski. Just not a lot of room for Jimmy Johnson on my plate, and it was the same way last week, and it's been that way a lot of the year, and I haven't really missed out on anything. So I'm just going to continue to not really care about Jimmy Johnson, but we'll see how tomorrow goes. Ryan Blaney, of course, starting on the pole, $8,700, $10,000 on FanDuel. He was okay in practice, 8th overall. We'll look for tomorrow. I kind of talked about him a little bit earlier. It's going to be a little telling to see where his odds drop. We'll see if he gets to like 9-1 or 8-1. Right now he's at 11-1, and you figure that's going to change when Bovada updates, or any of the sites really update with their odds tomorrow. I've just been using Bovada a lot because they're one of the only ones that seem to care about posting NASCAR odds, and they'll post them for the entire field, which is very nice. But Blaney, you know, like I had said earlier, probably play around 20% of him. He could lead a decent amount of laps here, and he has led, he's dominated large portions of races several times in his career at this point, and he's going to be a really, really good driver. He outdrove Harvick for the pole. That's pretty impressive. I could see Blaney at least leading the competition caution, maybe leading stage one, and maybe even coming back and being a factor in stage two and three. Not just falling off a bit. He had problems all of last year with crashing. He was a big crasher, and this year we're seeing him finish 98% of his laps. And that's a pretty darn good rate for him. I know he's gotten into some trouble and has fallen, you know, maybe a few laps behind. I think last week, if I recall correctly, he had a really warm day. His car exploded and caught on fire. It wasn't great for him, but I think he can rebound here. He really does seem to do well at tracks that he's done well at in the past, something I've noticed with Blaney a little bit here. We saw it at Texas. Seems to always kick it up a notch for Texas, and he's won here at Pocono. Really excited for Pocono, so we'll see if he kicks it up a notch here. Like I said, 20%, and just check out to see the line movement tomorrow on him. Kurt Busch starting in 6th place. I know it's really high for Kurt Busch, but $8,500. Over on FanDuel, he's $10,500. Pretty expensive over there. But he's really, really, really good at this track. 6 top 10 finishes in the last... Well, 7. My bad. 7 top 10 finishes in the last 10 races for him. Outside of one crash, his worst finish is 13th. Won this race in 2016. I would say that he is a guy you play in FanDuel and just avoid on DraftKings with the whole where he's starting. Just the price is really bad over there on FanDuel. You can still kind of do that and just hope that that makes him a lot lower owned. But it's not, like, terribly efficient to me. I kind of almost want to play him on DraftKings because nobody really will. And just with the lack of Dominator points and him actually averaging 12 fast laps per race this year, which is something he would not do in years past. He'd average, like, 2 or 3. I think that he could not only do that. I mean, we've seen him lead laps. He's averaged 21 lead laps this year per race, which is pretty wild. We could see Kurt Busch dominate a little bit, and that would mess up some people on DraftKings. So I'm really eyeing playing him, especially when guys like Jones and Almirola are right there who people will need to play a lot. I could see Kurt Busch becoming a very forgotten man, especially considering his price is right there with Ryan Blaney starting on the pole. You know, he's a real separator play. Just starting very high, so of course he has a glass floor that he could fall through at any time. And well, now it's time for the easy plays here. Erik Jones, $8,400. Over on FanDuel, he's $9,700. Starting in the 25th position, just barely got bumped out. The end of qualifying there, didn't make an extra run. He debuted here at Pocono last year. Third place finish in this spring race, 8th place in the fall, 106.5 average driver rating, average finish 5.5, average running position of 8th. It's pretty good numbers. Only 2 races, but he's led 24 laps, has had 22 fast laps. Starting back in 25th, the play just makes a whole lot of sense here. The price is pretty much right for Erik Jones. Like, I like the pricing of him here. It's not like Almirola where I'd say he's underpriced. But the price is good. He'll be really nice pivot off of Almirola, because Almirola has just expressed a lot about his car. Jones seemed a little bit more optimistic. And, you know, his track record here is a lot better than Almirola's, who's just always sucked here. So I like making the play of Jones over Almirola. I know Almirola is going to be higher projected than Erik Jones, and that just makes sense due to him starting freaking 34th, but Jones is a lot better at this track. So far this year, they've actually had an almost identical driver rating, almost an identical average running position, average finish, almost fast laps. The only difference is that Almirola's only led laps in the Daytona 500, and just a few of them. Jones has had at least a little bit more. Averaging 6 lead laps per race. So they're kind of comparable drivers, actually. But the major difference they have this week, Erik Jones sitting at 16-1. Almirola's 41-1. That might get worse based on where he's starting. Talking about Almirola here real quick, he's been horrible at this track. Didn't race the spring race last year because he got hurt a few races prior. And Bubba came in and finished 26th for him, but he got to race the fall race, finished 38th, just was involved in an accident. And the fall race in 2016, he finished 39th, finished 43rd in the 2015 spring race, 35th in the 2014 fall race. He just has a horrible time here. And when he's not crashing and finishing like bottom three, he's finishing around 20th place usually. We see a lot of finishes from him here between the 18th and 21st starting position, 5 of them to be exact, and those are the 5 races where he hasn't finished 35th or worst here. So his numbers at this track are just pitiful, driver rating of 56. A lot of it could be just due to him just so happened to crash here. Like, maybe if you take those crashes off the board, and the rest of those are just like 20th place finishes. I mean, he'll take a 20th place finish starting 34th. I think Jones has more upside for sure. Looking at the large and intermediate tracks, Almirola's driver rating is 66. Jones is 91. It's not really that comparable. I know he doesn't have as much of a sample from his really nice car that he has right now, but Almirola is not getting any lead laps, not getting a ton of fast laps lately. I don't know, like, I really like both of them. You're probably going to have a lot of lineups for playing both of them, but I think that you should play more Jones and Almirola is what I'm trying to say here. You got Alex Bowman, $7,900, second fastest in the first practice, and he's starting in 14th. All the statistics for him at Pocono were when he was with a trash team, so you can throw those out. He hasn't raced here since 2015. He's finished 99% of his laps this year. I've been very, very consistent in that regard. Just okay at the intermediates, but we saw him running really well last week. And obviously he's fast in practice. We'll have to see how that holds up. Bowman, I really like him on FanDuel. He's been a top-tier FanDuel play because he's very, very underpriced over there since they seem to use a lot of track history stats in their algorithm, and his track history is going to be freaking awful. Seen finishes of his 25th or worse pretty much every time, but that was with a car that should have finished around there. In the number 88, he's been extremely consistent, always finishing in the top 30, and 83% of the time he's finishing in the top 20. He's starting 14th, so you kind of want a top 10 out of him, and he's only hitting that mark 24% of the time. But really, when he stays out of trouble, that's about where he gets to usually. So Bowman's kind of sneaky on DraftKings, but he's just a really solid play over there on FanDuel. Austin Dillon, $7,700. He's starting 12th, and that is a bit too high. RCR seems pretty decent this week, so I wouldn't be surprised if Dillon makes some kind of noise, but just starting too high compared to all the guys around him, just not the greatest spot. You should play his teammate Ryan Newman instead. $7,500 on DraftKings. Over on FanDuel, where you'll actually play him, he is $8,700. And that's the play there. Just play him on FanDuel. He's starting 8th. And he's kind of been starting in the top 10 and kind of chilling in the top 10 a lot recently. He just has no upside as far as like lead laps go. He's not really going to do that for you. He sneaks in an all right amount of fast laps, but not a ton. You really just want to play him on FanDuel because he can post a top 5 finish. Top 10 finish at least. Last 4 years, we've seen him finish between 12th and 14th. Not last 4 years, last 4 times out here. But if you look back at his longer term history here, I know he had a better kind of car back then, but he would always finish in the top 10 here. I wouldn't really even mess with him on DraftKings. Just really this whole range, Dillon, Newman, McMurray is really bad, and I'm kind of very much avoiding it on DraftKings. But on FanDuel, he's playable. Jamie McMurray, $7,400, starting 3rd. Really nice starting position for him, but no, don't play him on DraftKings at least. I guess you could play him on FanDuel, but I would really recommend not even doing that there. He just really is starting way, way too high, and he's surrounded by 4 top-tier drivers that are looking to dominate lead laps. McMurray's not really looking to do that. He has led all of 1 lap this year, so don't touch him. He doesn't lead laps anywhere, ever. Daniel Suarez, starting 18th. This is a very going to be a very popular play. 7th at this race last year. 15th at this race last year, 7th in the fall race. Average running position of 11th, average finish of 11th. This year, he's always performed better than the stats end up having on looks. He's had some rough luck with some things, but Suarez is really fast, has been really fast the last few weeks, and I don't see him not being at least relatively fast here. Should post a top 15 or so. And starting 18th at only $7,300. That's a pretty good price there. Kenseth, $7,100. He's starting in 26, so you got to kind of consider Kenseth a bit here. He has a ton of top 10s recently, but you want to throw all those stats out because those are with JGR. He's with Roush now. He basically, think of him as like, well, he's driving Trevor Bayne's car, so that's a comparison there. Starting 26th, if it was Bayne, we'd think he'd be an okay play. That's kind of where he would start usually, and kind of around where he'd finish. Kenseth so far has been running in the 24th position on average, finishing around the 26th or 27th. So starting 26th, maybe he'll gain a few spots or something. He won this race in 2015, but like I said, you know, we saw when he came to Kansas, a track where he dominates at, he just was, it was his first race and everything with the car, but you could tell he's struggling with it. It's not the best setup for him. His odds are 300-1. Kind of a trap play, I'd guess. I wouldn't really play much Kenseth this week, even starting 26th. Ricky Stenhouse Jr. starting 23rd. This is a play I can get behind. Lots of good finishes recently. Just doing a lot better than the 23rd starting position would suggest. And this is the first time in a long while he's dipped into the 6K range. So $6,900 for Stenhouse is looking really nice. And Casey Kane starting 27th. Or 22nd. No, if he's starting 27th, we'd be using him again. But it feels like we've been using Casey Kane a lot. Like, we've been forced to use him a ton. He's just been qualifying so low. 22nd kind of puts him at, like, a neutral spot. I had mentioned earlier how he had the record for most fantasy points in a race here, at least in this car, or this generation of car. And that's actually not from his win back in 2013. That was from his sixth place finish back in 2016 in the spring race, where he just so happened to lead a ton of laps and have a ton of fast laps on the way to that sixth place finish. It's been really up and down for him, crashing sometimes, sometimes finishing top 10 or in the teens. Starting 22nd with 500-1 odds. Not going to be using Kane nearly as much as we have been, that's for sure. You can sprinkle him in there for sure, but not too married to the play at all this week. We'll kind of give Kane a break. We'll get back on him when he qualifies 29th next week. Paul Menard starting 20th. He's been qualifying so high this year that you got to kind of take him here at 20th. 9th in first practice in overall speed. 100-1 odds, looking better than Casey Kane for 100 less dollars. Top 20 in both of the races last year, and he's in a much faster car. Average running position is 17th, an average finish is 17th, so if he finishes 17th, that's decent value. It's like 30 fantasy points. So, 30 fantasy points for $6,600, that's not too bad, and he could even break the top 15, top 10. We saw him race really well last week. I could parlay that into this week a little bit, so do not mind using Menard at all. Someone I haven't used recently, but finally get a chance to use a little bit of Menard, and he's playable over there on FanDuel, of course. AJ Allmendinger, $6,500, kind of the flavor of the week. The last few weeks at Charlotte, had a really impressive car over there. He got into the wall in I think it was qualifying earlier, so starting 24th, he was the guy that knocked Eric Jones off the bubble, but did very poorly that next round after he'd gotten into the wall. He's not going to need to go to a backup or anything, just got a little dinger for the dinger. And these larger ovals, he's not had a crazy amount of success on. Average finish of 21st is, like, respectable, I guess. 7th place finish in the fall race here in 2016, or 2015. Does like to crash a lot. Like, he had a lot of crashes in a row here, so it's hard to be too conclusive with him. But starting 24th, just kind of a mediocre average play that you maybe could play, I guess, but I wouldn't be too thrilled about it. William Byron, $6,300, very cheap price for him. Starting 16th, and I'd imagine he finishes around there. Maybe he goes up a little bit, but that's kind of been his MO lately, finishing the teens. Just so cheap that you might be able to use him. And over there on FanDuel is $7,000 as well. That is super cheap, so very good FanDuel play. Definitely a better FanDuel play than DraftKings play. Bubba Wallace Jr., no longer Daryl on DraftKings and FanDuel. He gets to be Bubba now. 19th starting position, and that's kind of about where he's been finishing, if not. He usually runs a little bit lower than finishes pretty decently. We see him kind of sneak up there in the third stage oftentimes. Just another kind of mediocre play. You're playing him because he's only $6,100. That's pretty cheap. You kind of want to just mix and mash these plays towards the bottom since there are no super obvious plays down here. Chris Buescher, former winner here, technically, starting 27th. Other than that win, he's been just okay. average running position of 23.3. And starting 27th, if he goes up a few spots, like, I'd expect him to finish around, like, 23rd or so. That's okay value. $5,900, pretty cheap for Buescher compared to what we've seen him in the 6K range around there most weeks. So 5.9, that's fine. Just looking more towards the McDowell play here, so we'll jump to him. McDowell starting 30th. It's a really good starting spot for him. 18th in the fall race last year, 24th and 23rd in this race, the two races prior. And before that, he hadn't raced in years. And, you know, back in 2013 was the last time he had raced before then. And that's when he was driving the last place car pretty much every single week. So his long-term stats are kind of skewed in that regard. But his starts recently, at least in the 95, were pretty darn good. Maybe that might bolster Kane a little bit here. And Kane's already pretty good. But now that he's driving Castle's car, if you look at Castle, he's actually had okay success here for someone like him. Just all in the top 30. The 14th place finish in 2015 was okay, but it's McDowell driving this thing, and he's driven a lot better than Castle did, I'd say. So starting 30th, yeah, he's going to move up probably into the upper 20s or so. So I like the McDowell play at $5,800. It's very cheap. Di Benedetto at $5,700, starting 32nd. Another guy that should move up some. Hasn't had a lot of success here at all. He's crashed so many times. Best finish of 28th. So the track history is a little bit of a concern, but he's just ran into trouble and gotten unlucky for a good portion of his track record or track history here. He technically has one of the worst driver ratings. A lot of that's just due to him crashing repeatedly. So I don't know what to make of the Di Benedetto play. I'd say like play him at 5% and just kind of roll with that. David Reagan starting 21st. That's kind of where he's been qualifying at lately. It's where he's been running at, and it's where he's been finishing at. So over on FanDuel, he makes a pretty sneaky play. On DraftKings, you could still play him on DraftKings, but he's probably going to go back a few spots. Landon Castle, $5,400, starting in 33rd. That's a really nice spot for him. Three straight top 20 finishes. Five out of his last six have been in the top 30 with that 14th and place finish there. Done pretty well this season. Usually finishes a lot better than what his average running position is because he just kind of survives. He's finished 93% of his laps, which ain't bad for a scrub. He's just so cheap, and he's starting in a relatively decent spot. Just another guy to mix and match in here. And then Ty Dillon is just so super cheap, $5,300. You know, practice at the 26th fastest speed. Has always finished 21st or better. When he took over Tony Stewart's car in 2015, took that into an 18th place finish. And then followed that up in 2016 when he got an RCR charter ride, finished 21st. And then last year, his first full-time season, he finished 18th and 17th. So he does really, really well here. And he did pretty well in Xfinity here as well. So he's just so cheap. He's starting 29th. He's going to be kind of a top-tier play this week, to be honest, all the way down at $5,300. It's just be mindful of the fact that if you play Ty Dillon, you're going to tie with a lot of lineups if you also throw in Harvick, Busch, and then like Almirola or Eric Jones. So if you start your lineup with something like that, you really need to leave some salary on the table, or else you're just going to tie with like 100, 200 people, because that's going to be a super popular way to go. Underneath Ty Dillon, Ross Chastain was really impressive last week. Started 25th and kind of rode there the whole time. Can't remember where he finished. I think he finished a little bit better than where he started at, like 24th to 23rd or something, but he had a really good run. Starting 31st, he has actually finished in the top 30 92% of the time. Really nice start to his young career. He's pretty much a lock for like the 30th through 25th position or so, right around there. But that, you know, at $5,100, him moving up a few spots is going to do him nicely. So just another one of these guys to mix and match. You know, not a lot of fades down here until you get to the very, very bottom. Cole Witt making yet another start here. He's only raced a few times this season, but this is a track that he does not like to miss. Always in the top 30 here. Has raced 8 years in a row now. Didn't race at all in 2013 season, but he's raced here 8 times in a row, always finishing in the top 30. Never finishing in the top 20. He had a 21st place finish in 2014, and last race he finished 24th, but you can pretty much lock him in for the 30 to 20 spot for sure. Starting 35th, that's going to be up, you know, he's going to move up at least 5 spots. And he's driving Corey LaJoie's car. We saw do really well last week. You saw that out of all the studs, it was kind of a step above the other studs. I was right there with Chastain's vehicle. So for $5,000 even, Cole Witt makes for an awesome play. I'm going to be using a ton of him. And then Cole Custer, the other Cole. DraftKings dropped the ball. Doesn't have a price for him. So we're going to have to look at him over on FanDuel, where he is minimum price $5,000. He's starting 28th, and that's good for FanDuel, because he also has the full support of Stuart Haas Racing behind him. He's probably going to make a debut next year, the year after, for Stuart Haas. Probably be a successor to, like, Kurt Busch or something. And Cole Custer has looked, he looked fast in Xfinity as well. It was very fast last week. So Custer in the number 51 Ford, I wish I could use him on DraftKings, but you're going to have to slam him over there on FanDuel for minimum price. And then we got the bottom of the barrel. J.J. Yeley starting 37th. Greg Alding starting 36th. That's a maybe 31st and 29th last year. And he hasn't finished worse than 36th so far this season. If you want to really go all the way down to $4,600 on DraftKings, if it's like that big quarter mini-max or whatever, then sure, go for it. But I wouldn't really recommend it. And then you've got Greg Alding, you've got Derek Cope, $4,400, driving the 99 Chevy. That's just so bad. Driver rating of 27 this season. No. I know he's gone up in his last few races. He raced both of these last year, finished 34th and 33rd. But I can't recommend him. He's only finished 80% of his laps. He's finished within 2 laps of the lead 0% of the time. Within 10 laps, 33% of the time. Just no, don't play Derek Cope. What are you doing? I know he starts last, but, like, he'll finish last. You know he's going to finish last. He might survive and go up a few spots, sure, but he's going to be just so many laps down, even at a track where you're not supposed to go laps down. He's over 4 seconds off of the pace. Cole Witt was 4 seconds off of the pace, too, but it's the weird thing about Witt is he always practices like that, but then he ends up being just fine when he comes to the race. We'll see if, with Witt, we'll see if that continues next, or tomorrow in practice, if we get that in, hopefully. But, like, Cope, I'm for sure, I'm not going to use much of him at all. But, yeah, that'll do it for the pod. Thanks for listening, and remember to come check us out at dfsarmy.com, and use promo code TACO for that lifetime 10% discount. Hope to see you guys up on the top of the leaderboards come Sunday and on Saturday. Don't forget Saturday. Early morning qualifying, 9 a.m. That's going to be a great thing to wake up for. And I will see you guys then. We will smash Xfinity, then smash Cup Series on Sunday on both DraftKings and FanDuel, especially with our new FanDuel lineup optimizer. Looking very nice. Going to be an awesome debut for that. DFSArmy.com, promo code TACO. You guys have a good one, and I'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to the DFS Army Podcast. Join the DFS Army today and gain access to our private Slack chat, where you can chat with real DFS pros and coaches, as well as other DFS Army members with winning track records. Also included in your membership is access to our premium articles, DFS Army weighted projections for every sport we offer, from NFL to MMA, weekly player picks and cheat sheets, the strategy vault of timeless concepts, and the DFS Army Domination Station, a truly state-of-the-art lineup optimizer offering your personal projections or ours. The DFS Army membership is the best value across the industry. Join today and get two free ebooks, as well as The Secrets to Unlocking a New Level to Your Game.